sometimes you might have to be strict with your diet and you might see some results quickly. So if someone is, you know, getting all this unwanted weight gain, can it be in that same kind of way to do it, like where it's this long game, or can you see some changes like pretty quickly?
Weight gain, or weight loss, I guess I should really say, is the last thing to improve with thyroid issues. Every tool that was available, I tried. And that's ultimately how I ended up experimenting initially with GLPs to see how it would respond in these people. And it completely transformed their lives, their metabolism, my practice of medicine, everything. So the trick is finding a dose that elicits these benefits. And I see the benefits on paper in labs at microdoses without just bombing their appetite out and making them lose weight.
Welcome to Broads, the bold and badass fitness podcast for women. I'm Tara, and I'm here to empower you to feel strong in your body, confident to take up space, and cultivate the badassery you've been holding back. You're here because you know there's more to life than losing weight and feeling self-conscious in your body, and you're ready to get after it. You may just need some support and guidance along the way. So tune in, stay a while, and I promise I'll be right here alongside you as we figure the shit out together. Because at Broads, we're redefining fitness, confidence, and what it means to be a badass woman. You know that feeling when you're doing everything right, but you're still exhausted, puffy, foggy, and your labs come back, quote unquote, normal? We are changing that today. I'm joined by McCall McPherson, thyroid specialist and founder of Modern Thyroid Clinic and Modern Weight Loss, to talk about why women get brushed off, what a full thyroid and hormone panel should actually include, and how to move from normal to optimal. We dive into Hashimoto's, yes, remission is possible, why HIIT training can actually backfire when your adrenals are worn out, how nutrition and microdosed GLP-1s can support your metabolism, and what it really takes to get your energy and body back without overtraining or undereating. McCall McPherson is a physician associate and entrepreneur specializing in thyroid, hormone, and metabolic health. She's the founder of Modern Thyroid Clinic and Modern Weight Loss, where she helps women take back their energy and feel like themselves again. Just a little disclaimer I want to put out there. McCall shares her own clinical perspective on GLP-1s in this episode. I am not a medical expert, and this conversation is meant to spark curiosity and awareness, not replace personalized care. Always do your own research and talk with your healthcare provider about what's right for you. Before we get into today's episode, I want to thank our sponsor, Timeline Nutrition. Here's the deal. Training is stress. It's a good kind of stress, but it still pushes your body hard. Add on top of that work stress, family stress, not sleeping enough, and your system eventually says, nope. That's when recovery drags, you feel wiped out, your workouts start to stall, and your system can only handle so much before it hits a wall. If you've been hitting a plateau or feeling like every workout takes longer to bounce back from, the secret may not be another program. It might be your cells not keeping up. So let's flip that. When your cells are charged up, your body handles stress better, cortisol stays steadier, and you can push harder in the gym without burning out. That's exactly what MitoPure does. It's powered by Erythrin A, the only clinically proven supplement that can transform cellular damage into energy. The science is legit. Studies show it can increase muscle strength by 12% after 16 weeks and speed up recovery after exercise. And here's what I love most. When your cells produce more energy, you don't just train harder, you bounce back faster. You stop feeling drained from the combo of life stress plus workout stress, and then you actually feel strong enough to push again. For me, these fit perfectly into my routine. They're sugar-free gummies, not another pill to add to the stack, and I actually look forward to taking them. So if you're ready to recharge your batteries, break through plateaus, and finally feel like your body's keeping up with your training, you've got to try these. My friends at Timeline are giving you 20% off MitoPure gummies. Just go to timeline.com/TARA. That's timeline.com/Tara, and see what it feels like when your recovery and strength finally click.
McCall, thank you so much for being here today. It's such a wonderful time to have you in person. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Amazing. Also, love the outfit choice. It was great. She messaged me right before this and was like, should I wear this? And I was like, absolutely. Always what makes you feel most comfortable.
I love it.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here. First and foremost, tell us why you do what you do today.
Great question. Yeah. So I ended up in the world of thyroid. I'm the founder of Modern Thyroid Clinic by way of honestly being a woman and not being heard, seen, understood, had my own thyroid problem, was literally spending 16 hours a day in bed. I'm not even exaggerating. And was told that my thyroid labs were normal. My medication was fine, didn't need an adjustment, despite literally having like every thyroid symptom, and was kind of blown off and gaslit. And it wasn't until I found someone who could take a deeper look, run a full panel, use progressive medications, that I was able to get my life back. So now I actually get to do that for women all day, every day. And I've created a place where we're actually nationwide now, which is so incredibly special, via telemedicine. So like in my lifetime, I want to see women access good thyroid care. I don't want my daughters, my patients' daughters, facing the same thing that I had to face.
Yeah. It's so interesting that you say that, because I was like, yeah, I'm nodding my head. Like, so many women go through that where they're not heard and seen. So how did you know to like keep going to find someone that was going to actually help you?
Yeah. You know, well, I was already practicing medicine. So, you know, I kind of knew this has to be a thyroid thing. There has to be an answer about why I feel like this. And honestly, I would say the thing that probably kept me going was desperation. Like, I was 27. I'm like, I cannot live the rest of my life like this. If I lose an ounce of function, I won't have a job. I won't have a marriage. I won't have friendships. Like, everything was almost on the line. And that's the sad part, is I think after being told that things are normal so many times, women believe it. And like, I'm not exaggerating when I say, when I have a new patient that comes in to see me and it's like time to review their labs and talk about what everything looks like, 95% of them during that appointment tell me one of two things. And I swear I'm not exaggerating. One, so you're telling me I'm not crazy. Or two, you're telling me this isn't all in my head, which just goes to show their journey before they've arrived in my office or seeing me online, right?
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Oh gosh, that's a lot to unpack. I would say for some reason, medicine doesn't believe women. Like, it's easier for them to blow us off and send us to a psychiatrist than it is for them to actually hear and believe us. And I think part of that is a systemic issue of, we train clinicians. I was trained to see patients in 7 minutes, yeah. 8 minutes. It's 8-minute medicine, right? Like, you cannot deconstruct complex medical issues in 8 minutes. I also think, specifically in the world of thyroid, I view it as like this orphaned condition where no one is investing in properly caring for it. No one thinks it's a big deal. Meanwhile, it's completely debilitating. Like, I would be on disability by now if no one had intervened for me. And people just don't care. They're not trained in how to properly look for it. They're not trained in how to treat people that don't fit into the one size fits all. And so they're like, look, if I don't know how to fix this and it's not showing up on your labs, it's a you problem. It's not a me problem. And one kind of crazy stat, women get diagnosed with cancer 5 years later than men, because no one believes us. Like, they just think we have nothing better to do than go to the office on a random Wednesday and beg for help. Like, we have plenty of things to do. We have a lot going on, most of us. You know, we're doing lots of jobs. We're picking up slack in our family. And it's time medicine evolves and starts to take us seriously.
And you are a prime example of doing that now with your business.
So true.
Yeah. So you were, you know, 16 hours a day. You couldn't really function. You finally got the support you needed. What were the steps that you took from there?
Yeah. Like, after or leading up to that?
Leading up to it and after.
Yeah. So, you know, I left my doctor's office that told me, go eat less, exercise more. By the way, here's some Lipitor, because you have high cholesterol, that I had for my thyroid problem. And I just did a lot of research through the brain fog of like, what is this? Why am I having all these symptoms, but my labs are normal? And I ran across one of the only thyroid advocacy platforms back then. It was a long time ago. Now there's so many. There's so much information out there. That's the beauty of social media. We can inform and empower people to be in charge of their health. And got on the wait list for the only integrative medicine doc in Austin back then that did progressive thyroid care. And once I saw him, he immediately became a mentor to me, and I devoured every single thing I could in the world of thyroid, research, education, whatever it was. And I still do, like, in my inbox every day, I get studies for thyroid, because medicine's not going to equip us to help these people. Like, clinicians have to take it into their own hands to educate themselves.
You know, you were in the medical field, so you were like, I know that this is thyroid. Yeah. How do women know? Like, how do they know intuitively without someone like you coming in and telling them?
Good question. So thyroid symptoms are like fatigue, brain fog, weight gain, hair loss, low libido, depression, dry skin, loss of the outer portion of your eyebrows. You tend to be like cold natured, so cold intolerance. A lot of people can't sweat. They lose their ability to sweat, kind of depression, flat mood. Your clinician will start to tell you, oh, you have some increases in your blood sugar and your cholesterol. And so medicine views that cluster of symptoms, thyroid symptoms, as what's called nonspecific. Like, they could be anything,
yeah.
Right? And so that's a way that they can kind of shoo you out the door and simply say, this isn't thyroid. And what I say is, look, like, if you have 4, 5, 6 of those symptoms, most likely it's because of a thyroid condition. And so if you have them, part of my mission in the world is to deconstruct steps for people to take to get answers on their own, to actually drive the care that they need and go into their clinician educated, knowing exactly what labs they need, what ranges they should be in, what medication options are great. And so, like, we can talk about all that. I freely share it because I want people to navigate this, because we cannot passively sit back and allow medicine to still.
It's so interesting you say that, because out of all those symptoms, I was like, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. I mean, even like, I talk a lot about perimenopause and menopause on here, and I'm like, well, all of those could actually be associated with that. So, like, how do you actually know if you have, you know, a few of those symptoms, and where should you go from there?
Yeah. So I think women deserve all of the labs. Like,
yeah,
they deserve an entire thyroid panel, which, if you guys want to get a pencil and write this down, you can.
Yeah.
Also, I'm happy to share my thyroid lab guide link with you to share with everyone.
Of course.
But it's TSH, free T4, free T3, reverse T3. Every woman should be screened for Hashimoto's, TPO, and thyroglobulin antibodies. And then women should be getting a workup for their hormones in perimenopause, in menopause. They should be looking at estradiol, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA sulfate, LH, FSH. We should clearly have the data to know and make a decision, because the reality is this, honestly, it's usually not either or. It's not like hormone dysregulation and thyroid dysfunction. It's usually both and, especially if you have a thyroid problem, chances are you have hormone issues that need to be addressed too, to get you to your highest form of health, which is what women deserve and are entitled to.
Yeah. Can anyone get those labs anywhere?
Yes. Like, so you can obviously go to your clinician, but in America, there's like 2 states, I think, maybe 3, that don't allow you to order your own lab work. Mm. Other than that, so in 48, 49 states in our country, you can actually go to any lab tests now, or even Quest now has a place where you can order your own labs. I try to keep a link in my social too for people, so you can order them. If no one else will, order them and look at them yourself.
Yeah. What do you do with that information then?
Yeah. So, I mean, I always recommend you use my thyroid lab guide, especially for thyroid labs. So the deal with thyroid that's complicated is there actually is no, quote, normal range. There is no magical agreed upon range that everyone should be in. So every lab's definition of what normal is varies. So Quest is different than LabCorp, is different than the local hospital. And what's crazy is, like, Quest by this, by your studio, is different than Quest by my house 20 minutes away. Like, what they do is they formulate averages, they pull from their data, and they're like, okay, we're going to take out the top percentage, the bottom percentage. We're going to create a sum and an average, and this is what we're going to determine as normal. Clinicians, doctors, use whatever that lab says is normal as their normal range. So it varies from patient interaction, from lab to lab, and they're far too wide. Modern Thyroid Clinic has ranges that are this wide compared to LabCorp or Quest, the hospital, that's as wide as the rooms that we're sitting in. And it takes optimal, not normal, to get your life back from a thyroid problem. Anything less than perfect, and honestly, people are pretty debilitated.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy also that every lab is so different.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't exclude people with the condition they're trying to rule out. So people with hypothyroidism are put into those ranges.
Right.
So, and lastly, like the thing I always talk about is who's going to the lab? Like if we're going to base these ranges off of people going to the lab, is it people like you and I on like a Tuesday who are like, I feel so great. I'm going to take the day off. I'm going to go down to Quest and I'm going to see what my thyroid labs look like. No, like these people are desperately looking for answers to what's going on in their health. And so they're going to the lab. So essentially we are basing our normal ranges on sick people, potentially with the condition that we're trying to rule out.
Mm. How often should you get that checked?
For women, I mean, if you don't have an active thyroid condition, at least get screened every year. If you have symptoms, more often, every 3 to 6 months. We check labs every about three and a half months until people get their lives back. Basically, every round of treatment, we check in about 3 months later and we make adjustments.
How long does it take to get your life back?
About 85 to 90% of people feel improvement after their first round of treatment. So after the first time they meet with their clinician at Modern Thyroid Clinic, I know. What's crazy is these people, I mean, I was the same, suffer for months, years, decades a lot of the time because they don't know that there's another option. And the amount of time it takes once you land in the right hands is so brief because a lot of thyroid medications are short acting and people ubiquitously in America, 90% of people are put on medications, one class, one type that will never work for them. But if they can get to the hands of someone that uses different medications that kick in immediately, they can feel that often literally the same day that they start.
Crazy.
There's so much hope, right? Yeah, like there really is so much hope.
Yeah, that's beautiful that they can come to you and that there is so many resources now out there. So you get the lab work and then you go to someplace like yourself, or what else would you do if, you know, there was nowhere close near you?
Yeah. So I would say if people are looking for someone and they have a complex issue, like they have thyroid symptoms, they've been told A, it's not your thyroid, or B, your medication's fine, like nothing's wrong. I would say find a functional medicine clinician who specializes in thyroid and who can prescribe medication. Like there are a lot of people in the world that are functional medicine doctors, functional medicine thyroid experts. They have no formal medical training where they can prescribe medications, make recommendations, nothing. So most people with a true thyroid condition need some form of medication, even with a functional medicine approach. So you can't see those people. So you want to find a licensed prescriber. And then again, like that's kind of why we do telemedicine and thyroid. Like we want this to be accessible in all corners of our country because the truth is there aren't a lot of places that do what we do. There aren't a lot of places that know the complexity of thyroid and can actually handle it.
If it's not thyroid, you had mentioned Hashimoto's. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and how that plays into this too?
Absolutely. So, you know, a lot of people kind of think Hashimoto's, hypothyroidism are the same thing. Really, they're completely different entities. They're solved in completely different ways. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune condition where your body attacks itself. And in this case, it mistakes your thyroid as like a foreign invader. It begins to attack the tissue in your thyroid gland and almost replace it with scarry inflammatory tissue. Once it becomes scarry, like anything, it doesn't work as well, right? So it doesn't secrete as hormones as effectively as hypothyroidism. And eventually, over time, they lose access to hormone production as that gland gets destroyed and they become hypothyroid. Regular medicine views Hashimoto's as, I call it like the reverse lottery. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. So sorry this happened. We just need to deal with your hypothyroidism over here. We'll treat you with medication. Not a big deal. We never even need to check your antibodies again. That's what traditional medicine tells us. That's what they tell patients. And truly, Hashimoto's is a reversible condition. It's able to be reduced. It's able to be influenced. And in many cases, able to actually be put into remission. I'm a perfect example. I had severe, severe Hashimoto's. I had a massive goiter to go along with it. And I've been in remission for over 12 or 13 years now. I don't obviously have a goiter anymore. And that is like the functional medicine approach. That is root cause resolution. What's creating inflammation? What nutrients are you missing that can influence this? There's all these different strategies to work through it. But the big thing to know is you can influence it as those antibodies reduce. It actually reduces your risk for developing other autoimmune conditions, because when you have one, you're actually at a 30% increased risk of developing another. So if we can reduce those antibodies, in turn, it reduces your risk for other more serious, potentially autoimmune diseases. So it's incredibly, incredibly important to address that piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. And can you address it then with those same labs and
Absolutely. So like on day zero, we check labs, right? TPO and thyroglobulin antibodies, and we create an intervention, whatever that might be. Let's say we change your diet. We remove dairy based on food inflammatory testing. We recheck those antibodies 90 days later, and we see if that worked. We see, did we elicit a change? And if so, we continue. If not, we switch it out and we find something different to influence it. And it's building a toolbox with these people that they can go back to in the future if they need to.
Let me take a quick moment to thank our partner for today's episode, Hume. We all know that training is only half the equation. The other half is understanding how your body's actually responding. Because if you're lifting, running, taking classes, juggling work, family, and life, your body's under pressure from every angle. And without real data, it's hard to know what's working or what's not. That's where the Hume Body Pod comes in. It's more than a scale. It's your home health command center, designed to give you real insight into what's going on inside your body. Using 8 frequency sensors, it measures weight, full body composition, muscle mass, fat distribution, hydration, and even heart health markers with up to 98% accuracy. It scans your torso, arms, and legs independently, giving you a complete science-backed snapshot of your health, not just a number on a screen. So instead of guessing, you can train smarter, track progress more precisely, and make informed decisions that actually move you forward. And because it's Black Friday season, Hume is doing a site-wide sale, and my code TARA stacks on top of it. That means you can get up to 50% off total, which is the biggest discount they do all year. If you've been feeling worn down, slow to recover, or just want to feel stronger and more supported in your training, this is the time to grab it. Just go to humehealth.com and use code TARA, T-A-R-A, at checkout for up to 50% off. That's humehealth.com, code TARA.
You know, you mentioned that every lab is very different and even everyone's results are very different. And then now you're talking about food. So how can we utilize nutrition in, you know, some of these cases of hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's?
Great question. So food is obviously incredibly powerful, and it's something that can fuel our body or hurt us. It can benefit us or it can hurt us. And we eat our whole lives. So making those choices and creating those positive habits is incredibly powerful in the long term. So food influences both hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. So Hashimoto's is driven and influenced by inflammation. And we can influence inflammation in a lot of ways in our lives, but one very controllable way is food. And so I try not to overly restrict people's diets, because these women that come in, they're like exhausted. The last thing I want to do is be like, well, you're going to be on an autoimmune paleo diet for the rest of your life, you know? So we tailor diet recommendations specifically based on food inflammatory results, IgG food testing, but I've noticed a lot of patterns, and that's kind of what makes us unique, is we are like data analyzers at Modern Thyroid Clinic. And so I found patterns in people with hypothyroidism. Number one, if we think about foods in descending order of inflammation, dairy is number one for Hashi people. I thought it was gluten too, but it's not.
Okay.
Then gluten, then legumes, then grains, then eggs, then nuts and seeds. But by the time you get to nuts and seeds, it's like 5% of people. Mm-hmm. So not everyone, everyone's always like, well, what are we supposed to eat? Well, most people don't need to like take away all of that. You know, it can be realistic. So that can very much influence antibodies. But in the other way, your body activates your thyroid hormones when it feels really safe, in essence. So eating a low inflammatory diet with high micronutrients, enough calories, enough protein, facilitates the activation of your hormones or influences it, the conversion of T4 to T3, which is incredibly, incredibly important. So from that standpoint as well, not only can it influence autoimmunity, it can also influence your ability to make your thyroid hormones usable.
Wow. Okay. So we've got this list of dairy at the top and all of these. What are you doing with each client that comes in, are you slowly taking away each of them? Are you slightly restricting? Are you an 80-20 kind of living in the gray?
Yeah. So let's say someone comes in, they get food inflammatory testing.
Yeah.
And their big groups are, let's say, dairy and gluten, right? Usually dairy is more severe. So let's theoretically say that. Mm-hmm. What I'll tell them is for 3 months, let's just try to be a little intentional on dairy free for the full 90 days as much as possible so that we can check antibodies before and after and see if they're influenced in a big way. If they are, we move into more of like an 80-20. Like, I am a realist.
Yeah.
And I don't ask our patients to do anything that I haven't done and am not willing to do again myself. And like, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to live like paleo for the rest of my life.
Definitely not.
You know? And so I think most people can tolerate most things in small to moderate amounts. But if we can lower that inflammatory level initially, it's incredibly powerful. I almost give this analogy of water in a cup. And our body is meant to deal with a cup's height of water. And every bit of inflammation we get is just a drop of water in that cup. And we don't experience symptoms. We don't experience autoimmunity until the cup overflows. Okay. So when these people come in, and if they're in a massive state of inflammation, their cup's full. So they have the tiniest bit of dairy, and it creates this inappropriate eruption, this overflow that it shouldn't. We should be able to deal with that. So if we can use 3 months, 6 months to lower the water level in the cup, most people can tolerate these little bits of inflammation. They can handle those drops because the cup is only a third or half full. So it doesn't inappropriately overflow every time they misstep, essentially. And so that's the long game. Like, right. The short game is, sure, we might hit it intensely at first, but the long game is to create balance for these people because that's what they deserve and that's what real life is.
Yeah. And I'm not giving up ice cream. I don't know about you,
right?
But I love it.
Everyone has their thing.
Exactly.
And they should keep it.
So where does the unexplained weight gain come from, especially with hypothyroidism?
Yeah. So it is a multifaceted mechanism, but very, very incredibly early on in a hypothyroid state, it begins to shift our physiology. It slows our mitochondrial function. It slows our basal metabolic rate. Mm-hmm. Research shows between 30 and 40%. I'm like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
It reduces our lipid transport. So we start to accumulate more lipids, more cholesterol. It slows the breakdown of fat. So not only are we storing fat, we're also not breaking it down and expending it. It creates leptin resistance, insulin resistance, and all of these mechanisms are absolutely foundational for our metabolic function. Like, it is the basis of our ability to day-to-day just burn the calories that we're supposed to burn sitting here or exercising. And then that spirals more and more over time. People become more insulin resistant, more leptin resistant. They're inappropriately storing fat. They can't lose weight with effort, eating well, exercising. They can hardly lose weight if they don't eat at all. Like, it's pretty profound.
So I guess, in that same question, how do you know that it's hypothyroidism versus like lifestyle factors? But I guess what you're saying here is if you're already trying all the things, we can go back to that.
Totally. And then there's data, right?
Like, right.
You can check someone's fasting insulin. You can check their fasting leptin. You can look at their hemoglobin A1C, their cholesterol. And obviously, in conjunction with discussions about their lifestyle, you can get a really clear picture. But look, if someone's leptin's 25 and their insulin's like 18, it doesn't matter what they do. They're not going to lose weight. And it's interesting. I mean, my primary practice is women who are incredibly invested in their health and they're not afraid to put in the work. Like, I remember talking with a patient about her diet a couple years ago. I'm like, well, tell me what you eat, how much you eat, how much you exercise. She's like, oh, McCall, I've been on the Whole 30 since 2017. It was like 5.5 years. This woman has been on the Whole 30 diet, what's meant for 30 days because it's extremely rigid.
Yeah.
And could not 5 pounds, could not lose 5 pounds to save her life.
Yeah. And it was all because of this.
All because of this. And once you fix someone's thyroid hormones, their metabolism doesn't magically come back. They have years, decades of insulin resistance, leptin resistance to rehabilitate before they can appropriately lose weight with effort.
that's the next question I was going to ask. Yeah. You had mentioned, you know, sometimes you might have to be strict with your diet and you might see some results quickly, but really we're trying to make the long game here. So if someone is, you know, getting all this unwanted weight gain, can it be in that same kind of way to do it, like where it's this long game, or can you see some changes like pretty quickly?
Weight gain or weight loss, I guess I should really say, is the last thing to improve with thyroid issues. And you know this, like you can change a woman's entire existence, but if you cannot make her feel like herself in her body, you're not arrived, right? Like our work is not done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I really struggled with for a long time in my practice, because truly I could transform. I could give them their energy, their vitality, their joy to parent, their joy in their marriage, their ability to do so much more than just survive. But these women could not lose weight. And I tried everything. Like, I mean, every tool that was available, I tried. And that's ultimately how I ended up experimenting initially with GLPs to see how it would respond in these people. And it completely transformed their lives, their metabolism, my practice of medicine, everything.
I would love to go there next, but I want to just chat about some of these things that you said you've tried.
Yeah.
You tried everything. Tell us like what those are.
Yeah. So obviously exercise, caloric restriction, protein forward.
Yeah.
I even do something called the food flow formula where it mimics like an intermittent fasting state to try to reverse insulin and leptin resistance, but they're still allowed to eat. We did prescription diet medications of every kind that was in existence. I tried to use responsibly, but to stimulate metabolic function, exercise of all kinds, minus essentially like a couple that burn out adrenals and thyroid people. And I'm really protective of their poor adrenals.
Right.
But everything, metformin was another one that we still use. Like it can slowly reverse insulin and leptin resistance. And it's a great longevity medication to use temporarily.
Yeah.
But it was painfully slow and wouldn't work in a fair amount of people.
And painfully slow, you mean how long?
Oh, 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's talk really quickly about adrenals. I feel like that's a buzzword. People talk about this a lot, but like some people may just not even understand what that is or what to do with it.
Yeah. So adrenals are a big problem in my patients, mainly because when your thyroid is low, your adrenals compensate and your adrenal glands sit on top of your kidneys right up here. And they're responsible for our stress response. They manage our cortisol, our sleep-wake pattern, our energy, our resilience to stress. And as they wear down, they make people tired, foggy, not stress resilient. A lot of people have fatigue after they work out, and it will diminish the effects of proper thyroid function. Like it will interfere with people's improvement. So we always address them at Modern Thyroid Clinic. And it kind of also can manifest as almost like tired and wired, waking up at 3 a.m. every morning, like clockwork, like your body's like, oh, it's time to wake up. And so we address them by doing, you know, some lifestyle modifications. Ashwagandha is an incredible tool for adrenal restoration, other targeted supplements. And, you know, medicine views our adrenals as working perfectly, like they're great, everything's wonderful, or both of them, because again, there's two of them on top of our kidneys, stop working simultaneously at once. And we have something called Addison's disease, and we're in adrenal failure. They do not believe that there's a process of breakdown of our adrenal glands, which functional and integrated medicine has in turn coined adrenal fatigue. But I see it every day. Certainly it's true. And also like things don't break down at one moment in 1 second, both of them at one time. There is always a process of failure over time. And so that's, you know, an important piece of a lot of people's journey because it comes from chronic stress, which I don't know about you, but I definitely struggle with that. Most people in our society do. And so it's an important piece of someone's long-term health puzzle.
Yeah, it is so important to note too, especially with the stress of exercise. And you had mentioned there's a couple, you know, workouts that you maybe wouldn't suggest people to do. And what are those?
I love it when we get a little controversial.
I am all about it.
Right?
I'm just like, I think I know what you're going to say, but please you say it first.
So, you know, it's HIIT.
Yeah.
And HIIT has a lot of benefits, like it does. But people early on in their thyroid journey, their poor adrenals cannot handle it.
Yeah.
And it's things like CrossFit.
Yeah.
Like CrossFit, too, is just really hard on adrenals. And, you know, we're in society now where we value this thing called hormesis, like this stress that makes us stronger. And that is, like, there's plenty of research that shows that that is so incredibly valuable. But there are people who aren't ready for that yet, that life is stress. Like, life is manufactured stress that they're trying to get through and survive. And so they're not ready to, like, add more on. And so, yeah, I usually recommend weight training. I love weight training. I love walking. I love yoga, stretching. I feel like is an important part of us as we age as women. But I'm protective of, you know, the overdue of exercise and then the rebound fatigue. For me, that's the line. When people are tired after they exercise, they need a nap, they feel sick, they've done too much and we have to pull back.
I don't know if this was you, but this was me to a T in my early 20s.
Was
it? All I wanted to do was HIIT training. And it was like, if I didn't sweat, if I wasn't sore, it didn't count.
Yeah.
And all I taught was classes. I'd be on my feet all day. And I, you know, and then I like you zoom out years later and you're like, what was I doing to my body? Lost my period, lost appetite.
I wanted to know, how did you feel?
Yeah, not great. I mean, I looked good on paper, right? I was like, oh my gosh, I'm looking good, but I felt like shit, basically.
Right.
You know, and so, and this is someone that's not coming from thyroid,
right?
You know, anything like that. And so I think that, you know, please take this with a grain of salt. Do the training that feels best for you.
Yeah.
But if you lean more into strength training, yoga, Pilates, bar, that is better off. That's for sure.
I agree. And in our society, especially right now, I feel this push through, push harder, do more, suck it up is like so valued, but it comes at a high cost for a lot of women.
Yes.
And we need to pull back and listen to what our body is telling us. Because it's not that if we work out harder, we're going to get stronger. In some people in these cases, they work out harder and they get weaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite the opposite.
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about GLP-1s.
Okay. Let's do it.
So you'd mentioned you've, you know, tried all the things and you've worked with so many patients in the past and nothing worked. And so then you tested GLP-1s with your clients. So tell us about that journey.
Yeah. So it started like really with a beta group where I wanted to collect data. You know, and just really understand what these medications were doing to my people. This was years ago, like 3.5, 4 years ago, probably now. And so there wasn't a lot of data out about them for weight loss, especially in the thyroid community. And the fear of thyroid cancer was still very real. And I serve thyroid people. So had to make sure I isolated that variable, protected people as best I could from that experience and risk, but very quickly found some crazy stuff. I mean, just not only were these people losing weight, they were actually repairing their metabolism. They were reducing insulin. They were reducing leptin, cholesterol, hemoglobin A1C. There were markers over time that would tell us these people are now advantageously like functioning in terms of their metabolism, and they can come off of these meds and maintain their weight and even continue to lose weight. We like things that we found in our data are just now in the last 6 months coming out in research. I truly believe we have the largest research database of thyroid people on GLPs in the world. And they massively reduce inflammation like nothing I've ever seen. The benefits of them go so far beyond weight loss. They're anti-cancer, they're anti-aging, they're longevity, they're protection from neurodegeneration, they reverse autoimmune diseases. All of these things have studies to back them up. And what I found was women would go on them for weight loss, but they would say the weight loss is kind of like this added benefit compared to all these other things that I'm getting from it. Largely inflammation, I think, inflamed people have thyroid issues. And to take away that inflammation from their physiology in like 48 hours when they have never been able to influence it that much, it was just incredibly powerful. So never did I think I would find something that I'm as passionate about as thyroid, but I truly have. Like I truly have. It's undeniable. I think these meds, in my opinion, are the biggest thing that will happen in medicine in my lifetime. I think they will change the trajectory of medicine forever. But the flip side of that is I think currently they're being used poorly. People are over-medicated. They're not being monitored. They're not being supported. They're having incredibly severe side effects simply due to over-medication.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be more responsible.
Most people wait until January to, quote, get back on track. And honestly, it makes sense. The holidays are busy, routines shift. There's family, travel, different foods, and it can feel harder to stay consistent. And when consistency already feels tough, paying for coaching in November or December can feel like you're wasting money if you're not sure if you'll use it. This Black Friday Cyber Monday offer removes that problem completely. From November 24th through December 1st, if you apply, do your consult call, and join us in Broad's Coach, you get coaching for free through the holidays. That's right. Your actual contract doesn't even begin until January 1st. No countdown and no pressure to be perfect through the holidays. You get a custom strength program built around your life and schedule, weekly one-on-one coaching support so you have accountability and direction, form feedback so you feel confident in the gym, progress tracking to keep you moving forward, nutrition guidance to support your training and energy. This means you build habits and momentum now during the hardest time of the year instead of waiting and trying to start from scratch in January. And since your contract doesn't actually start until January, the earlier you join during the promo window, the more free coaching time you get. If you want to walk into January already strong, supported, and already in a routine, this is the way to do it. Promo ends December 1st. Apply now and we'll talk through everything together on the call to make sure it's a good fit.
So 3.5 years ago when you did this first test beta group, how many women were on it and what was that like?
It was about 20. 20 of my people I was really close with that could give me feedback consistently on how they felt that wouldn't, you know, shy away from going and getting lab work consistently. Yeah. We met every week. Like, I developed our weight loss program and I ran it for almost 2 years myself. Okay. So every week I met with them, like, it was so intense. I look back now and I'm like, how did I even do all of that? But it was a sacred journey. And the really cool thing is that I didn't really expect was so many of these women over the years had almost slowly developed disordered eating. Like, they couldn't influence their body to change with effort. So they started eating less and that didn't work. So they'd eat less. And then over time in our brains, we begin to feel guilty when we would eat something outside of perfect. We feel ashamed. We start further restricting and it becomes obsessive. And the interesting thing I saw with GLPs and continue to see is it breaks that cycle. Because they eat well, but when they eat something bad, they're not immediately gaining 3 pounds of water weight and then feeling ashamed and guilty. And then over months or years, it tends to rewire their brain to allow them to have a more balanced approach and view of food. It was so interesting. I mean, I know this is controversial, but I truly believe that these meds are the future treatment of eating disorders. They already show a 13% reduction in bulimia. Like, I think they are systematically reprogramming how we're thinking about food in a different way that people don't have access to. So I'm curious to watch the research come out on that.
These 20 women that you worked with, did they need to lose weight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of weight to lose.
Yeah. I mean, a fair amount, 25 plus pounds.
Okay. Have you ever been on them?
I went on them a couple years ago. I microdose. So that's what we do in our practice. We microdose, we tailor dose. I am totally like an inflamed person. Like, I struggle with inflammation very badly. It's something that dominates the landscape of my life. And definitely life-changing for me for inflammation. I had to come off of them about a year and a half ago. One of my children had like a really bad health issue and I just couldn't eat in general. So I'm like, this is not something that I need to be using right now.
Yeah.
So I'm finally kind of getting back to the point where I can reintroduce it. And I'm really excited.
So interesting. Because I feel like there's so much more research coming out. And you've mentioned several times that this is not just for weight loss. There's so many other pieces to this puzzle. So do you believe that people that maybe don't need to lose weight still could see a lot of benefits from
them? Absolutely. Yeah. But the tricky part is, these people cannot go on standard doses. Like, that cannot happen. Even obese people, I do not think need to be on standard doses of these meds. They're not eating enough food. They're not fueling their body. They're not getting enough protein. They're nauseous. They're sick. And they're losing too much weight too quickly. And it's just not good. But so the trick is finding a dose that elicits these benefits. And I see the benefits on paper in labs at microdoses without just bombing their appetite out and making them lose weight. But no, I think most everyone could benefit from being on a microdose of GLP. And I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah, that's
but the
wild.
Research is like, it's too profound.
Yeah. Microdosing. What does that actually mean?
Yeah.
How much are you taking? What are you doing?
Yeah. So microdosing is not the lowest dose of like Ozempic or Mounjaro. We start people anywhere from a quarter to an eighth of the lowest dose of these medications, all the way down to a tenth of the lowest dose. And, you know, so that's number one is people don't need as much medication as they're taking. Yeah. And the doses of medication people are taking are driving side effects like Ozempic butt and muscle loss and all of these things.
Yeah.
So if we can reduce the dose, allow people to eat more food, right? Not have side effects, not be nauseous, still have an appetite. They can garner the benefits. They can lose weight slower and safer.
Yeah.
And not get the downside. So it's any dose that's less than, you know, the lowest standard dose. The other thing is medicine has like this protocol where they double everyone's dose every 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People do not need to be doing that. Like they need to be increasing doses small in small increments only when necessary. Like most people can be on the same dose for months and it's still effective. We don't need, again, like just doubling these massive doses. It's silly. We created our dosing, you know, algorithms for these meds based on diabetic patients mm-hmm. that these medications started out being for. And normal people don't need diabetic doses of medication.
But how long are you microdosing for? Like, is this a forever thing?
Yeah, good question. So it depends for what people are using it for. For our patients, like I can speak for our patients, about 85 to 90% of them come off after they get to the point of metabolic healing. But benefits like, you know, if you're on a GLP, you're 15 to 25% less likely to die of anything. Doesn't matter if you get hit by a truck, if you have a heart attack, full stop, research says you are 15 to 25% less likely to die of a cardiovascular event, 15 to 30% less likely to die of a cardiovascular event and even have one, which is what kills most of us. Stroke, I think it's like 17 to 39% less likely to have a stroke. Again, cardiovascular disease is what kills most of us. 13% reduction in breast cancer, 16% reduction in prostate cancer, 6% reduction in pancreatic cancer. So these benefits go away, right? If you're not on the meds. Like it's not like you can take it for a month and magically you're 20% less likely to die for the rest of your life. No, like you have to be on them to get these sustained results. So it's like everyone deserves to have those conversations individually
yeah.
to determine what are your risk factors. Do you have a high rate of dementia and Alzheimer's in your family? If so, maybe we need to keep you on this permanently because there's a 13% reduction in dementia, you know, or cardiovascular disease. So everyone has to decide for themselves, but to garner the long-term longevity benefits, they need to be on an amount of medication. Research is done at standard doses, but again, I see the benefits on paper and labs at microdoses, even after one microdose. It's crazy. So that's the downside, right? Like they can allow you to lose weight. You can get to a weight. Most people can maintain weight if it's done correctly, but you don't get all of these longevity pieces if you stop it.
This is very interesting, McCall.
I know.
Where is this science and research coming from? If somebody's hearing this and they're like, you mean to tell me that if I'm on this, I'm 20% less likely to die from a car accident?
Yeah.
Where can people find some of this stuff?
So all the research that I pull from is all from PubMed. So PubMed.gov is where scientific literature kind of lives.
Right.
And like thyroid, I get in my inbox every day studies that come out on GLPs.
Okay.
And it's been really cool to watch it evolve.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, the most random things come out in these studies for GLPs. And then they'll reanalyze, like the SELECT trial, for example, was a huge trial that they initially did to look at semaglutide. And then they'll go back and they'll reanalyze that data, which is hundreds of thousands of pieces of data, and they'll look for other new patterns. And so it's constantly, literally every day, it's evolving. It's insane. Like it is. It's the opposite of thyroid, where nothing, a lot of nothing valuable is coming out. But in the world of GLPs, it's evolving by the minute.
Why do you think that is?
I can tell you why.
Yeah, like, please.
There's a lot of money in GLPs for these pharmaceutical companies. It is incredibly, incredibly lucrative.
My first thought was men can also take GLP-1s and thyroid is a little bit more women-focused. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That was my first thought. But of course, there's also a lot of money in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's true, right? Research is for the men, for yes. sure, sadly.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's going to change. I think we're in a moment for women, I think. You know, I think what's happening with hormones right now is paving the way for the evolution of us in scientific research. I'm sure hoping that's the case mm-hmm. because we've cost an entire generation of women,
yeah,
you know, high cost of not accessing hormone care because of really shitty research that came out, like one study in 2002 that scared everyone away from it. Now,
yeah.
you know, has been debunked and there's been more research out that's in support of hormone replacement therapy. So I'm hoping we're having our own little revolution.
Okay. So all this information can be found, you know, all this research on PubMed. Also, I know you post a lot on your socials as yeah. well that people can look at. If someone wasn't ready, didn't want to go down that route, what other lifestyle changes, fitness, nutrition could help and benefit them?
Yeah. So obviously you're the fitness expert here. I would definitely love to pick your brain. But
yeah.
you know, as far as exercise, especially for thyroid women, I love strength training. I love strength training that allows their heart rate to come down mm-hmm. in between sets so that, again, we are gentle with their adrenals, but we are building muscle, and building muscle changes so much. It increases our basal metabolic rate. It increases our levels of testosterone production. It increases our mitochondrial function, and it's connected to infinite long-term health outcomes, you know, that are beneficial. I also love walking. I love walking fasted, right? I love intermittent fasting in a very balanced way, not rigid, not dogmatic, but walking fasted in the morning, not quick, just you can still have a conversation. We are doing sustained low intensity exercise that taps into our fat stores and allows us to train our body that, hey, we want to use carbs, we want to use food, we want to use fuel, but we also want to use fat as energy. In the same breath, like intermittent fasting is an incredibly powerful tool specifically for thyroid people because they have insulin leptin resistance. They don't have metabolic flexibility, which is essentially where you can shift from burning food to burning stored fat to produce energy in your body. And it is, put a pin in it, the key to ever be able to lose weight. You have to be able to switch from burning food to stored fat. So I usually recommend my people intermittent fast no more than 4 or 5 days a week. They can fast for 12 hours. They can fast for ideally up to 16 hours if they're adapted to that, so that it creates metabolic flexibility. It gives your body a break to clean out the waste, to take out the trash. When we're busy constantly dealing with food, we don't get to go deeper and do a deep clean. Kind of like if I have all 6 children at my house nonstop, I actually am just keeping up with chaos. I'm never, you know, scrubbing the floors kind of thing. Same in our physiology.
And then for 6 kids.
I have 6 kids. Yeah. It's crazy. It's a frat house.
Yeah,
absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what else was I going to? Oh, yeah. Food flow formula. So yeah. basically, I really talk with my patients about trying to mimic fasting, but when they're eating. So wake up, eat protein and high fiber, low carb foods mm-hmm. to keep your body in a low insulin, low leptin state, low blood sugar, even though you're eating. Do the same for lunch. Strangely, I tell people to save their carbs for dinner because we've kept blood sugar overnight low all day. And then they finally raise their blood sugar in the evening before they go back to sleep and have their longest duration without eating again to keep it low. What that does over time is it reverses insulin resistance. It reverses leptin resistance, these core foundational things that influence hypothyroid people. And then eat a low inflammatory diet, right? Like try to nourish and fuel your body in a balanced, realistic way. Don't eat processed food, you know, don't eat just things that are going to raise your blood sugar 13 times more than sugar does. And that's like corn syrup is really efficient at doing that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you talk about intermittent fasting because I feel like that's another controversial topic.
So controversial.
And for me personally, I don't intermittent fast just because I like to eat food and I'm always moving. Why? I guess let's focus this specifically on hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. Why is it so helpful for that group of people?
Yeah, it's really because if we boil everything down to insulin resistance, we have to find a way to reverse that, right? And fasting is incredibly powerful at making your insulin more efficient because you're not walking around with elevated insulin all the time, and it's becoming less and less effective as it's used and overused. And so narrowing that window down will slowly pull the insulin down and increase the effectiveness of it, which if I had to pick one thing that is driving metabolic dysfunction in thyroid people, it's insulin resistance. Got but it. I agree, like it's not for everyone, yeah. right? Like it's not even for all thyroid people.
Yeah.
People have to understand how they feel in these interventions and assess it for that value. If someone feels right. horrible, the last thing I'm going to do is be like, keep pushing through, just keep doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like listen to your body. And people that don't really struggle with inflammation too, find less value in it.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that I think a lot of thyroid people are inflamed and it can be profoundly impactful for
that. Yeah. I just appreciate the fact that it isn't so black and white. Like there can still be a gray area with everything that you've been saying today.
Right. Yeah. And it's even like, look, like if you wake up and you're hungry, eat.
Yeah.
Don't fast that day.
Yeah.
If you go work, like if you have a late dinner, don't fast or move your eating window. It doesn't need to be this crazy, rigid, dogmatic thing that I think for a long time has been emphasized. Like everything needs to be black and white. You just need to go harder. You can do this. It's not that hard. No. Like listen to your body.
Yeah.
Because it's so valuable in what it's communicating to us.
Yeah. Again, so appreciate that because it's the same thing with working out. It's like, if you don't feel like it, do the warm up, see how you feel. And then if it's like, no, no go, cool. You got in some sort of movement and that's it. Or you can keep going, right? What about stress management?
Yes.
What can we do there?
Wow, I had some fascinating conversations about this just last week. It's so important and it's so hard. And like I kind of told you, I don't really tell people to do things that I haven't done myself. And stress for me is something that's hard for me. Work, sure, but you know, my youngest is disabled and medically very complex. And as a mom, that's just like, never really goes away. And so I'm like, how can I reframe this experience to not live in this land of stress? And it's incredibly difficult. And that's kind of the thing I've been focusing on for the last year is like, not all of us can change our situation. We all can't change our environment. We can try to find tools and things to help mitigate our stress. Meditation, walking is great for me. I do all the things. Like I buy all the tech, everything I can do. I'll let you know if I find something that's like the winning ticket. Yeah. I'm not there yet. But, you know, finding things to calm your brain, even mindfulness. But for me, for people who can't necessarily change so much about their situation, I think it's about reframing your mindset and looking at things differently. And that's work. And I applaud the people that have it down. I'm still on that journey.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I appreciate that. And especially as high achieving women, it's just hard. And you have a rather large family that you're taking care of. Like there's always going to be things that going on in your brain. And so sometimes hearing this like meditate or be mindful, it's like you want to punch it in the face.
Right. Yeah. No, I can't meditate. I'm like too stressed to meditate. And I'm like a 10-year meditator. So
yes.
Like it's sometimes it's not possible. And respecting that in someone's reality is key.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
What else can we leave the audience with? What do you feel like? I mean, there's so much knowledge and education you've gotten out of this. So please, you guys, make sure you follow McCall everywhere. But what else can we like leave them with?
A couple things. One is if you want to download my thyroid lab guide, it tells you what labs you need and then our optimal ranges. Like I actually freely share them so that people can be like, is it my thyroid? My doctor says it's not, but I need to know how my labs look compared to McCall and Modern Thyroid Clinic. It's gift.modernthyroidclinic.com.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I feel like, a couple other things. One is from my grave, I think I'll say, never believe someone when they tell you that your thyroid labs are normal and that this isn't your thyroid. For women, millions of women are hearing that on a weekly basis, and it's not true. So don't stop there. There are answers. And women are kind of sacrificing their best years to this condition, and it's completely fixable if you can land in the right hands of someone. And then the other thing I would say is so much of the time on social media, I get asked, well, how do I convince my doctor to order these labs? How do I convince my doctor to use medications with T3 in them? And listen, you're not going to. You're not going to change the practice of medicine of someone. If you even get them to run the labs, they don't know how to interpret them. They don't know what that information means. Leave, exit, and find someone who can actually help you, will hear you, will believe you. Because I could still be sitting back at my doctor's office begging him to take me seriously and be nowhere. Beyond disability, like truly beyond disability. All it takes is finding someone that actually wants to partner with you on your health. And it's worth the every ounce of energy, money, investment, time, all of it.
Love that. Thank you so much for being here. Where can people follow you online? I know you're on Instagram. Are you on TikTok and podcasts, all the things?
I love TikTok. So on TikTok, I'm McCall McPherson. On Instagram, McCall McPherson PA. And then I have my own podcast, Modern Thyroid and Wellness. It's fun over there too. So yes, please follow us. And you can find out more about our practice if you Google Modern Thyroid Clinic, or our weight loss sister company is Modern Weight Loss.
Amazing. And we'll put all of those in the show notes as well. But again, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.